Before we get on to the video that I was talking about, that's going to be about a half an hour long. It's one of Billy Graham's videos. I want to also just plug our 10:15 class that we call Accelerate. It's a meeting that we have here, 9:15. Yeah, 9:15. Thank you. It's good that someone's paying attention. 9:15 Sunday mornings, we have a great time here. This morning we watched a really great video. It's about half awesome, right? I mean, just powerful, powerful. The reality of our gospel that we know and understand to be true is so simple and so basic, and yet somehow in the complexity of our high-tech world, we can miss where the power's at. And the power is in the simple. The power is let there be and there was. When God speaks, what once was not now is. What once was now is not, because he has the power in his voice, and he's given us and trusted us with that ability by faith to speak even to mountains. And I want us to understand the simplicity of this kingdom that we've been called to. It's not complicated. It's very simple. And a video we watched this morning was just a real heartfelt to me expression of what it really is that goes on behind the scenes of some of the most successful people in our country's lives. It was on the Robertsons this morning. There's just a little plug. I'd like to make you a little bit jealous if I could, but in a minute of video promo for the one that we actually watched, it's going to be hard to make that happen. But I just want to encourage you. It's once a week for a lot of folks that you come to church. If you just add that extra hour, I promise you're going to get to meet some more people. You're going to feel more connected, and you're going to be able to see stuff like what this is promoting. So we got that ready, guys? Let's just check this out quick. You got to kill these front lights.
I owned a beer joint when some guy came in with a Bible and he wanted to introduce me to Jesus. Welcome. I ran him away. You can only run the old sex, drugs, and rock and roll so far.
I knew one day it was going to break, and I just hoped I was going to live to turn my life around.
I guess I just got really caught up in thinking that I was better than everyone else because of who my family was.
It's only when you meet Jesus and you look back at where you were, you end up saying things like, what was I thinking?
There you go. You guys see that? IamSecond.com. If you want to look them up, you can go online, YouTube. You can actually stream that video off YouTube. If you go to IamSecond.com, they do a lot of work with well-known names, big names in entertainment and just in general. And get behind the scenes, those that are believers, and really just get to find out and hear from them some of their own testimonies. And it's just very, very powerful. If you could find a way to just go online, not now, because you already turned your Wi-Fi off, right? Everybody's got their Wi-Fi off. And just check that out. It's only about 30 minutes long, that particular video that they were just talking about. But it's really powerful because it's simple. Everybody can understand it. And I so appreciate the way that it was put together. And so you can do that during the week. If you do that and you're having struggle in your faith and you're not really feeling God, I promise you'll feel him after the end of that, because it's very real. The power and presence of God when people testify. Remember, we overcome the person that's out to destroy us by the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of our testimony. And that's the powerful tool that we've been given. It's not complicated, but when we begin to speak about what God's done for us, it suddenly eliminates a lot of the questions and the philosophical stuff that people get into. And so I just want to thank God again this morning for everybody. I want to just make sure I mention a couple scriptures here before we show Billy Graham's video. And I want to leave room at the end of that video for us to respond. First of all, for those that may want to just make a commitment to the Lord, and in addition to that, for those that want to believe that there's a call on your life to be able to share the truth of this gospel to a greater degree. We all do some measure of it, hopefully. Maybe you don't knock on people's doors and you don't interrupt people in the checkout line. Maybe you're not real aggressive, but I promise everyone is looking at your life, and there's something that your life says, and there's something that is visible in your life if you know Christ or if you don't know Christ. And the reality is there's a scripture where it says in John, I believe, when it talks about John the Baptist, and he's saying, who did you come out into the wilderness to see? Does everybody, those that have been saved, you know the scripture I'm talking about? I'm not quoting it exactly. I understand that. He says, who did you expect? Basically saying, this guy's a rough, he ate locusts and wild honey. This wild man in the, this wild Jewish guy out in the desert. It says, who did you come out to see? Doesn't say, who did you come out to hear? Because he had a message. He was preaching about the coming Christ. He was the forerunner. He was proclaiming Jesus is coming. Jesus is almost ready to start his ministry. And yet what it says about him, people weren't coming out to hear. They were coming out to see. And your life, because the word calls us salt and light, your life is intended to be a light in a dark world. And what do people see when they see you? When they see your life, what do they see? You can have the greatest message. You can have all the stuff. But at the end of the day, it's what people see in you that's going to inspire them to believe your message. If they see the opposite of everything that you're saying, it's not, your message isn't going to mean anything. And that's part of what Billy talks about in his video. Just a wonderful man. I want to mention, you know, Billy Graham somehow in Christian circles even has taken a lot of criticism over the years and stuff. And it's amazing how such small-minded people that just don't know any better, I guess, and so you can't really get too upset about it. But they'll criticize great men, some of the great people of our century, men that could go into a communist country and fill the largest arenas that existed then, when the Iron Curtain is still up during the Cold War, and could fill them and could proclaim the message of the cross in hundreds of thousands of people. Not just in, you know, at the event itself, but on television, national television, could watch the proclamation of the most basic message that's ever come to this planet, and that is the message of the cross. And this video is called The Cross, and it's something I want to make sure that we all avail ourselves to, because if you've ever thought that sharing your faith was something you needed a seminary degree for, or you thought you needed to be a Christian for 3 years before you could share it, I promise you it's not that complicated. I promise you it's much simpler than that. It's just a question of whether or not you believe it. When you believe it, the simplicity comes. When you're wrestling with it, it's complex in your own mind, and so when you try to explain it, it becomes complex in your explanation. Jesus Christ did for you what you could not do for yourself. He lived a perfect life, and he died a sinner's death. There's an exchange that happens when you believe that he did it for you and that he cared that much about you. That's the gospel, and everybody can embrace that, or they can choose not to embrace that. But for those that embrace it, our lives are changed, and we live as lights in a dark world because of that simple thing. Too often our messages go over people's heads. I think some of you may have heard me explain why it is that when I have my cologne, and I do splurge on cologne, I buy pretty good cologne. When I'm sparing with it, I don't just douse myself with it. Probably when I'm another 10 years older, I think that's around 50 plus, right? That's when we start just pouring it on ourselves, it seems like anyway, from the people that I've met. It's guys too, mostly not guys, but guys do it too. And but I spray my cologne right here, and I wish my wife was still up, but she's in the back there. I wish she was still up here with me, because when she's got boots on, so she's cheating. But when we're just around the house hanging around, if I want her to smell my great cologne that I spent, what do you got, 4 inches on? And so imagine her 4 inches shorter. This is where her nose is right here. So this is where I spray my cologne. Because if I spray it here like everybody else does, it'd be over her head, right? And I don't want it to go over her head in the same way I don't want our message and the message of the gospel to go over people's heads, because we make it too much about us. Well, this is where I like to wear my cologne. This is where it smells the best on my skin. It doesn't smell as good on my clothes. It's polyester. It's this and that and all these reasons why people are supposed to mix it with your own human scent, and some colognes work for some guys and they don't for others. All the reasons why it's supposed to go here. No, I have to make an adjustment, and I spray it down here because I want her to smell that I smell nice. I can smell great up here. And it's the same with our message. There's a simplicity in Christ. There's a simplicity. I want to just read a scripture here to make sure that we've just got something. How about if we just, I'm just going to read a few scriptures, and if you want to write these notes down, it's Acts chapter 2 and 46. This is talking about the early church that first received Peter's message, and thousands were born again, got saved. And so Acts chapter 2 and verse 46 says this: So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Here's another one in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And there's one more that let's read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1 through 2. I hope you're not trying to turn there. I'm just giving you the references in case you want to go back. 1 Corinthians 2 and 1. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." When we start from there, the rest of the learning and the understanding and the things that are added to us are wonderful. But we have to start from this simple place. 2 Corinthians, last one. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 12. "For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly toward you." There's something about a simple message that we have to re-embrace for ourselves. Too many people, we sang the song from the inside out, too many people think that coming to Christ means that you get all the outside behavioral stuff cleaned up, and that somehow allows you to come into the church, into the presence of God, and be right. And it's entirely backwards. The gospel says when the Lord gets your heart, the stuff on the outside begins to change because what's inside is now alive and living and breathing in him. It's a new spirit. It's his life on the inside of you. When you speak from that place, the message that comes forth begins to transform everything around you. Too many people are trying to do a better job at work. They're trying to do a better job raising their kids. They're trying to do a better job trying to understand the word better. Simplify all of that and just come back with me as we watch this video now. Come back with me to the basis of our roots. Our roots are that a man came, a God sent a son who became a man and came to this earth and endured a cross, endured a torture, endured everything that we deserved so that we could, by faith in him, receive all the good that a perfect life deserved. That's the essence of what we stand on. That's the only way that we can stand in this world. And if your faith, if your message, if your gospel has become more complex than that, then let today be a day where we allow our hearts to be melted and simplified back to what it is that has the power to change a lost person's life from darkness to light. All right, so we got that ready, guys. At the end of this, we're going to receive some prayer together. So just continue to allow yourself to stay focused and enjoy.
For 60 years, my father, Billy Graham, preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And at 95, he has a message that he'd like to share with you right here from his home. And it's a message I believe that can change your life and change the direction of this nation.
Young Billy Graham hailed another Billy Sunday.
Reverend Billy Graham, one of the most inspirational spiritual leaders of the 20th century.
We need you, we love you. Thank you for coming, Billy Graham.
Would you welcome, please, evangelist, author, educator, Dr. Billy Graham.
Our recipient, the man who honors us by being here today.
What is your purpose?
Go into the whole world and proclaim this message.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Shall make you free. Shall make you free.
As I look back over my life, it's full of surprises. I never thought I would become friends with people in different countries all over the world.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
I want us to look at the cross tonight.
I see how God's hand guided me.
Love one another.
When I began preaching many years ago, it was not with any thoughts that I'd be preaching to large audiences.
Come to the cross. His gospel is for everyone.
God has done this.
Christ is alive. In modern America today, there is a vacuum of the soul.
Our country's in great need of a spiritual awakening. Well, there have been times that I've wept as I've gone from city to city and I've seen how far people have wandered from God. Of all the things that I've seen and heard, there's only one message that can change people's lives and hearts.
There is a way if you come by the way of the cross.
I want to tell people about the meaning of the cross. Not the cross that hangs on a wall or around someone's neck.
We receive our freedom purchased by the ransom at the cross.
But the real cross of Christ.
The cross expresses the great love of God for man.
It's scarred and bloodstained. His was a rugged cross.
His real purpose for coming was to die.
I know that many will react to this message, but it is the truth. And with all my heart, I want to leave you with the truth.
God says, I love you. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love.
That he loves you, willing to forgive you of all your sins.
On our churches, we have a cross. It's embossed on our Bibles.
I thought the cross was a relic. It was a medallion on a necklace at best.
It's an ornament that we wear around our necks, Christians and non-Christians.
The cross really didn't have any meaning to me except for something artistic that rock stars wore.
But talk about the depth and the real meaning of the cross, and it becomes an offense. Why is that?
The cross is offensive because it confronts people. Even so, it's a confrontation that all of us must face.
I was really hurting and just didn't understand the source of all my pain and problems. I spent my whole life just burdened for something. Hungering for something, thirsting after, chasing this thing that I couldn't put my finger on ultimately. I was abused by older people, some in the family, some outside of the family. So as I got older, I always talked back, I always got into fights. My whole world was surrounded by guns and drugs and gangs. I remember in front of all my friends, just telling them to watch this, and as a lady was driving down the street, I jumped in the middle of the street and pointed the gun right at her, just to see her panic and freak out. And it was just me seeking power.
My mom always told me about God. I think I had an idea that God was big and good, but as time went on and I saw more and more tragic things happen around me, I think that was the beginning of me just questioning everything about life and about God. When I was 10 years old, my stepdad came to pick me up and he said that my cousin Kelly was dead. I remember being so mad and really just deciding that if God was big and good, why wouldn't he protect my cousin who was so tiny and so awesome, such a funny, brilliant little guy? Why wouldn't God protect him from a huge muscle guy like his stepdad who beat him to death?
I look out across an audience when I stand up to preach, and I think of all the people with their different backgrounds and their various needs. And I know that they are objects of God's mighty love. To the point that he gave his son, his only son, to die upon a cross. And the cross was the most terrible form of execution by the Romans for criminals. And Jesus endured all that in our place because of our sins. We deserve the cross. We deserve hell. We deserve judgment and all that that means. I know that there are many people that dispute that. People don't want to hear that they're sinners. To many people, it's an offense. The cross is offensive because it directly confronts the evils which dominate so much of this world.
You see, the Bible teaches that all of us are wrong. We've all gone astray. We've everyone turned to his own way. And when we turn to our own way, we go astray from God's way. And that includes the whole human race. And that's why the world is in such terrible danger right now. It's not dangerous so much because we have atomic bombs. It's dangerous because of the human hearts back of the bombs, filled with envy and hate and strife and greed and lust and all the other things that could pull the trigger.
I remember thinking that same year that my cousin died about the depth of the evil in the world. I never wanted to have kids. It was just a new person to suffer. That was the year I started to cry myself to sleep every night and stopped believing in God. I couldn't get away from my own depression. So I started studying other religions. There was a lot of nice ideas, but there wasn't any tangible healing. And I remember thinking, I'm tired of the pain in my heart. I'm tired of going to bed that way. I'm tired of feeling like a burden. I'm just tired of not knowing why I'm alive. And so I remember the night I laid in bed and I knew I was gonna commit suicide the next day. I knew that I was not gonna live past tomorrow.
By 16, I was getting high on a daily basis and got involved with woman after woman after woman. And you know, when you mix drugs, you mix alcohol, you mix youth, it's cause for an explosion. My mother was really concerned about me. I remember she just grabbed a Bible and said, "I don't know what to do. You just need to read this Bible." You know, I remember taking the pages of the Bible and just ripping them out and throwing them on the ground and saying, "I don't care about your God. I don't care about this. This isn't mean anything to me."
One reason that the cross is an offense to people is because it demands, doesn't suggest, it demands a new lifestyle in all of us. Sin is a disease in the human heart. It affects the mind and the will and the emotions. Every part of our being is affected by this disease. How can we break this bondage? How can we be set free? God helps us break those chains. The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Everything becomes new." He can make you a totally new person.
On the day that I planned to commit suicide, I came home from school and my grandma was there and she wasn't supposed to be there. And she looked at me and said, "There's something wrong with you. You're gonna go to church." I was like, "No way I'm going to church." and she screamed at the top of her lungs like we were fighting back and forth, and I just didn't want to listen to her yell anymore. And so I decided, fine, I'll go. And then afterwards, I'll go ahead and follow through with my plan. So I went to the back of the church and slumped down in my chair and hated everybody in the room. And the pastor started speaking, and I hated him more than anyone. And he says, there's a suicidal spirit in the room. And of course, all the hair stood up on the back of my neck, and I was, well, this is really weird. And I got up and went to the door. A white-headed man is standing there, and he stopped me and was like, the Lord wants me to speak to you. He wants you to know that even though you've never known an earthly father, that God will be a better father to you than any earthly father could ever be. God knows the pain in your heart. He's seen you cry yourself to sleep at night. The idea was so overwhelming to me. He's like, do you want me to pray for you so that Jesus can take the pain out of your heart? He put his hand on my shoulder and started to pray. It was as if the God of the universe showed up right in front of me. And the first thing I noticed was that God was holy and good. And the second thing I noticed was that I was so not holy and not good.
I was in a really dark place. I was really lonely, really depressed. And a friend of mine reached out and invited me to a conference. And I'm thinking, why not? My mind was blown when I got there. I had never seen anything like it. I saw guys with bullet wounds and ex-gang members who loved Jesus. And I had never seen anything like that before. And so I was intrigued. I'll never forget the pastor. You know, he started talking about Jesus and talking about him in an intense way that I had never thought about before. I had never just imagined Jesus as a real person going through real things. I just kind of thought of him as this fairy off distant person. But he brought it home to me, and he started talking about Jesus being beaten and being whipped for a crime he didn't commit, and the skin being ripped off his back, and him having to, in the midst of his pain, carry this cross up this mountain of a skull and being pinned to this cross. It was so vivid and visual to me. It was like I could see this happening to Jesus. And I remember him saying, like, how dare you tough guys call my Jesus a punk? You know, like, look at what he went through. And then the preacher said, do you not know you've been bought with a price? And it just came to a head. It was like, wow.
On that cross, God was laying on Jesus our sins. They not only put nails in his hands, but before that, they'd scourged him. A Roman scourge was a terrible thing. They took whips and pellets on those whips and beat a person almost to death. And then they took that cross and made him carry the cross, which was, in his weakened condition, was almost impossible. But he carried that cross to a place outside of Jerusalem. And then they put nails in his hands. But that was not the real suffering. The real suffering is when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In that terrible moment, he and God the Father were separated. He shed his blood, and the shedding of that blood carries with it God's very life.
The blood is the meeting place between God and man. And the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. And that's what Christ was doing on the cross. He was making atonement for our sins, and he was shedding his blood. Now, when you take the blood out, that means you're giving your life. And that's what it means. It means the life of Christ. The cross and the resurrection of Christ offers forgiveness of sin, offers a whole new life, and offers you eternal life if you come to the cross by repentance and faith.
Jesus literally took all of this on his own back for me. You know, I remember bowing out, just head touching the ground and saying, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry. But one step led to another, which led to another. And, you know, I was back drinking and sleeping around with women. And the conviction that I was now feeling was so strong. And I remember driving on the highway, just thinking to myself, God, you gotta do something. Because if you don't do something, I might hurt myself or hurt somebody else. I don't know what's gonna happen, but just don't kill me. I get cut off by a truck, and my truck just starts tipping until it flips over and starts rolling fast. The glass is coming in, the windshield cracks. I'm not wearing a seatbelt at all, so I'm kind of floating around the car. And I looked myself over. There was just a piece of glass stuck in my arm, and I pulled it out, and that was it. I said, Lord, I need to get with you. I need you to change me. I need you to really make this real, and I need to stop running from you. I was genuinely trying to know him more and read my Bible and grow. And I really began to be a passionate Christ follower.
But you set me free. Oh. I gave you no reason to give me new seasons, to give me new life, new breathing. No. But you hung there bleeding. You died for my lies and my cheating, my lust and my greed. What is a man?
I realized you don't earn righteousness, that none of us is righteous, not even one, and that our works are like filthy rags to God. Jesus lived the life I could not live and died the death I should have died. You know, that gets me every time, just to think, man, I gain everything by putting my trust in him.
If God had looked at me and said, go away forever, he would have been right. It would have been just as. The same time I felt that, I felt him inviting me to an embrace of grace and love unconditional. It was like God was saying, I love you. I know you're tired of the way you've been living, and I will make you new if you will let me. My heart was just yes. It just said, yes, I need that. I want that. Please. And that's why I woke up the next day. I just felt such a peace and a joy almost that I'd never felt before. Jesus saved my life, and on top of everything else, the life of my son and the new baby. That wouldn't be if Jesus hadn't intervened and rescued me. The most overwhelming thing is to think that Jesus became sin, and it was my sin, and it was things that I've done. The house him on the cross, it was things that I've done. He hung naked on a cross, bleeding in a shameful way, so that I would never have to be ashamed for the things that I've done. The truth is, there is no other way besides Christ and what he did. There is no life outside of that.
There is no other way of salvation except through the cross of Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The only way to the Father, Father God, is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, why Jesus? He's the only one that was born into this world without sin. But more than that, he was a righteous one. And when you come to him, you're clothed in his righteousness. God no longer sees your sin. He no longer sees your own heart. He sees Jesus.
Now, I don't understand all about it. There are many things about the cross and about salvation that I do not understand. And I'm not told that I have to understand it all. I'm told that I'm to believe. And anybody can believe. A blind man can believe. A deaf man can believe. An old person can believe. A young person can believe. And that word believe means commit. I commit my life totally to him. Jesus Christ from the cross says, I will save you. I will forgive you. I will change you. I'll make you a new person if you come to the cross by repentance and faith. Come to Christ.
When you come to Christ, you come by the way of repentance. Repent means to change. To change your way of living and turn from your sins and turn to Jesus Christ and say, I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. And I know that you're the only one that can change me.
Home went dark that violent day. The whole earth quaked at love's display. 3 days silence in the ground. This body born for heaven's crown.
The Bible says, in spite of our rebellion and rejection, God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his son to die for your sins. And when Christ died on that cross, he became guilty of lying. He became guilty of slander. He became guilty of jealousy. He became guilty of the most filthy, dirty sins. Christ took the hell that you and I deserve. Now, God said, receive him. Believe in him. Put your trust and your confidence in him, and I will forgive your sins, and I will guarantee you eternity in heaven. It's all yours, and it's all free. All you have to do is receive it.
Today, I'm asking you to put your trust in Christ. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer, sentence by sentence after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you've died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins. I repent of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
He's alive. I've given my life not to a dead Christ, but to a living Christ. And he's given me a song to sing. He's given me a flag to follow. I have reason for existence. I know where I've come from. I know why I'm here. I know where I'm going. Do you?
If you just prayed that prayer with my father, I'd like for you to go to our website. We have some resources there that we would like for you to have. These are resources that will help you to grow in your new relationship with Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Remember this one thing, that God loves you. And the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. God bless you, and thank you for watching.
First time, just as we were watching that. Anybody? Thank you, Jesus. Can everybody feel the simplicity of the real gospel? It's more than just understanding it. You feel it. You feel that it's something you can lay your life down to preach. And I believe there's people here today, even in the room, that God's called you to a greater level of sharing His love with people than you're currently operating in. And many of us think that we're doing the best that we can, and some of us are. And my prayer for us this morning is that would we dare to do more than just the best that we can? And are we willing to do the best that He can through us? Because there's a world of difference. You see, it's amazing thing. When I watch Billy Graham, I always have a special spot in my heart because my mother was born again at 12 years old when he came to Madison Square Gardens back in, I believe, 1950, somewhere around there. And You listen to Billy's messages and you think, well, there must be, where's the teaching on financial prosperity, and where's all the insights on spiritual warfare, and where's the things that we think we need to walk out this life? And all I'm telling you is all you need to walk out this life for His glory is Jesus Christ in your heart. When He becomes your life, you don't need a lot of accessories. You just submit to that Spirit. And that's what's available to every single person. And I want to just encourage all of us this morning in the way that we think about our faith. I believe that there's other videos in this series. One of the first things I want to encourage you to do is just go ahead and look up the other two videos in My Hope America series by Billy Graham. They're well done. And certainly, can anybody think of someone in your immediate circle that could benefit from watching something like this? Now, can we do what we got to do to email them a link? Does everybody know how to email links? Facebook, pretty much. If you don't know how to do it, just watch Facebook, because this will pop up in different spots. And you can just take that link and text it to a few friends and say, hey, when you get a minute, instead of whatever you're going to do, can you just check this out? Because there's a reality that God uses visual and music, and there's parts of the entertainment world that capture our souls. Which is why mainline TV is so powerful. People devote dozens of hours a week to visual stimulus. And yet we've got good stuff. This is good stuff. If there's people that have a hard heart that just need to see a testimony of someone whose life's been changed by the power of the cross, then we've got tools. It's just that little faith to step out and say, hey, I want to share this with this person. And so this morning, maybe we could all just stand. We're not going to go long today because I just want to leave opportunity for us to allow the Spirit to move in our hearts, to allow Him to speak to us. That's a strange thing, some people, when I make a statement, I want to allow God to speak to you. Does God still speak to people? Yeah, by His Spirit, He does. It's not with these things up here that you hear Him speak to you. It's on the inside. You feel a burden. You feel a love. You feel a desire to see people's lives changed. You see a desire for yourself to change. You feel it on the inside. This world needs people who are going to be those who the ones around you will say, well, what did you expect to come out and to see? I told you this person is this, this, and this. God has designed us to be watched, for our lives to be able to be watched by those outside. And if you just want your relationships to be in a place where it would be something that someone could look at and say, clearly this person knows a goodness and a power beyond what's in this natural realm, then I want to pray for you this morning. I want you to mostly just come forward and just as a demonstration. You know, Billy was great at that whole funnel effect. You'd see him give a call to come to the cross, and you'd just see throughout the whole stadium, you'd see like a trickling of people as they just began to funnel down. As a demonstration, Jesus Christ wasn't there on a cross. He was here 2,000 years ago. We understand that. But the image, the representation, what happened on that cross is still something that it's appropriate to come to. I mean, this, we usually, we're just going to pretend. We don't have a cross on our back. Well, let's just pretend that this is a cross. Does that look enough like a cross? And for those that just are believing God for a greater level of compassion, a greater level of anointing to be able to speak through, to be able to be that person at the back of the room when the young lady was about to leave after she was intimidated by the presence of God as the preacher spoke, that guy at the back of the room that tapped her and said, I believe God wants me to say something to you. Everybody here, you can do that. You can be that guy. Maybe you don't have the white head. Maybe you don't have what she described, but you have on the inside of you by the Holy Spirit the ability to be that person. For that suicidal one, for that lost one, for that one that's just about to go and get into the first bar they can find when they walk out these doors. Oh, they do come to church, folks. They're here, and the opportunities to reach them, sometimes you don't have to go to a bar. Sometimes they're here, and they're going to leave and go there. They're going to go to wherever it is that they can try to fill the vacuum of the soul. And we can be the ones that stand in the way and say, hey, can I pray for you? God wants me to tell you something about His love for you. That's what I believe the Church of Jesus Christ is. It's not just a group of folks to get together and say, hey, how you doing, and have refreshments. We're more than that. We stand between destruction, and we are those who are called to share the message of hope that we have for those that don't know Him yet. And so if that's you, why don't we just come on forward? We've got a song to sing. Let's just sing together. I just believe that there's a time and place where things are available to us in the spirit realm that we can tap into by faith. And we can receive impartations by faith of the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to do what He's called us to do. And I believe now is one of those moments. And if you don't know Him yet, maybe you prayed that prayer and you're not sure what it means. I'd love to be able to chat with you for a minute and explain to you just exactly what it means to give your life, to surrender your own life to the cross.